He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross.
I saw a mysterious personage in front of me.
Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church.
And I saw that my hands and feet had holes in them and were bleeding profusely.
If then we have died with Christ,
from that day on, I have been mortally wounded.
We believe that we shall also live with him. By his wounds you have been healed.
Padre Pio, the priest who bore the wounds of Christ.
Hello, my name is Father Andrew Apostoli. I'm a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Welcome to our series on Padre Pio, the priest that bore the wounds of Christ. I'd like to greet you with the greeting of St. Francis, and that is, may the Lord give you his peace. Our series is focusing on a wonderful and extraordinary priest who lived in southern Italy. He was gifted by God with great holiness and extraordinary gifts that drew countless people to come to him to seek his prayers and blessings. And we're going to focus on him in this talk now in his Franciscan and his priestly vocation. You might say he received one call from Jesus, just like the apostles, follow me. But it involved two vocations. One as a consecrated religious member of the Capuchin Franciscan order, and secondly as a priest of Jesus Christ. We'll focus in the first half of our talk today on his Franciscan vocation. St. Francis, we know, was Padre Pio, rather, was baptized Francesco, or Francis, and his mother always taught him to have a great love for St. Francis. His parents had that love. They would turn to St. Francis, who is oftentimes called the father of the poor. He's known for his great concern for the poor. He protects them. The humble seek his intercession from God. At the same time, Mama Pepa, who was the mother of Padre Pio, she taught her children, all of them, to be devoted to their patron saints. And since St. Francis was the patron saint of young Pio, Francesco, he had a special love for St. Francis. He dedicated his life to St. Francis. And he later on admitted that he had consecrated his life to St. Francis at the age of five, being also a consecration to a life of prayer and even celibacy. And he had promised to join the order of St. Francis. And this stayed with him for the rest of his life. Padre Pio had expressed his desire to become a priest. And when he did so, he specified he wanted to be one of the priests with a beard. Now, I have to tell you, I myself live in the tradition of the Capuchins, and we've always had beards. The Capuchin Franciscan friars, almost from their very beginning, had beards as a sign of their imitation of Christ and of St. Francis. And Padre Pio said he wanted to join and become one of the priests who wore the beards. Padre Pio was affected or influenced, I might say, by a young brother. His name was Brother, or they would use the Italian expression, Fra Camillo, who was 26 years old, and he had a big, long, dark beard. And Padre Pio could never forget that beard of Brother Fra Camillo. And this Fra Camillo was what we call a questing brother. In the Franciscan order, there's always been a tradition to go begging from town to town. You beg for the food, the bread, the grain, the cheese, the oil, the wine, the fruit, whatever was necessary for the food of the friars. St. Francis called that having access to the table of the Lord. And so some of the brothers, especially in Europe and particularly in Italy, were designated as questers. Sometimes you would see them with a little sack over their back, and they would go from house to house and beg food in the name of the Lord and for the love of God. And Brother Camillo used to come to the little village of Pietrelcina. And he was a big hit with the youngsters. They liked him because sometimes he would give them a little medal, a holy card, a little chestnut or something to eat. And he was a favorite of these young people. And he made a deep and lasting impression on Padre Pio. So when Padre Pio expressed his desire to become a priest, he specified he wanted to join the friars that had the beards. I should tell you that when he first applied to enter the Capuchin novitiate, which was in the town of Marconi, is about 25 miles away from his own little village or town of Pietrelcina. When he applied to go there, the provincial was ready, wanted to accept him, but said that the novitiate was full, that young Francesco would have to wait before he could enter the novitiate. A lot of people tried to talk him into going into another orders, and one suggested the Benedictines, another suggested the Franciscans, but Padre Pio said he wanted to go the friars who had the beards, and those were the Capuchin Franciscans. And so finally the day came. He was about 15 years old, and on January the 6th, 1903, he left for the Capuchin novitiate, which was, as I mentioned, in the city of Morcone. It was about 25-mile trip from little Pietrelcina. In fact, he got on the train and began the long journey. And, you know, I can only imagine the sorrow in the heart of Padre Pio. He later on admitted that he was sad to leave his family, especially his mother, whom he loved so very much. It was his first time going away from home like that. I can remember when I first entered the high school seminary, I was 14 years old. I had an eight-hour car trip. I'd never driven that far in my life up to that point, and I thought I'd never get to the seminary. And when we finally got there, I realized it was a long, long way, and I felt missing my own family. So you can imagine how Padre Pio felt in those days, because there wasn't much contact in the beginning between Padre Pio, young Francesco, and his family. But off he went, feeling the call of God. Padre Pio would be, all throughout his life, very dedicated to St. Francis. I mentioned he went there on January the 6th, 1903. But it was on January 22nd, so about 19 days later, that Padre Pio was what we call invested with the habit of St. Francis. As you see, as a Franciscan, I wear my habit as a sign of my belonging to the Franciscan order, part of the sign of dedication to God as a religious and as a member of my own community. So Padre Pio was invested. His name was changed. As I mentioned, his baptismal name was Francesco. Now he received the name of Pio, Fra Pio, or Pius. And this name, I should mention to you, he took the name Pio in honor of St. Pius V, who was the patron saint of the little town of Pietrelcina, where he came from. And he began to live his novitiate for 1 year. You're a novice for 1 year, where you study about the spirit of the order, the life of St. Francis, the meaning of the vows. And you can see on the cord, we always have the three knots, which is typical of the Franciscans, the Capuchins in a special way. Having the three knots to remind us of the three vows that we make. Poverty, we do not own anything of our own. Chastity, we give up our right to marry, we live a celibate life. And obedience, by which we obey the rule of St. Francis and the commands of our superiors. So Padre Pio prepared himself for a year with study and so on, learning to live in community, learning to share with the other brothers. He was very prayerful, also very studious. He used his novitiate to grow in holiness of life. And after 1 year, in fact, exactly a year later, January 22nd, 1904, Padre Pio made his first vows as a young religious. After that, he began to study philosophy and theology under the guidance of some very, very excellent teachers. Father Benedetto, who was later to be his spiritual director and his provincial superior, and Father Augustino, who was his confessor, and they were to have a great influence upon him. I want to mention a little bit more in this part of the talk about Padre Pio's great love of St. Francis. We know that in his life, as I mentioned very early on, he had dedicated himself to St. Francis. We do know that he had two very important visions of St. Francis later on in his life. And they came at a time after he had made his vows, while he was studying for the priesthood. And that is that he became very, very ill, even after he was ordained. And they had to send him home to his family back there in Pietrelcina. And St. Francis appeared to him twice to comfort him. And Padre Pio pleaded with St. Francis that he not be dismissed from the Capuchin order. He wanted to be a friar with all his heart. Certainly the Lord was testing him in his Franciscan call, which he lived so faithfully and became a wonderful example of the spirit of St. Francis. He imitated the life of St. Francis. Many times later on, as a priest, he would say his daily mass at the side altar dedicated to St. Francis. He always was to have a special love for St. Francis. He used to say, "Never take your eyes off St. Francis," because he exemplifies what every true Christian should be, or at least desire to become. In our next segment, we're going to look at Padre Pio in his priestly call and his ordination.
Padre Pio, after I had his spiritual experience, I began to read about his life and find out, what kind of a priest he was, what kind of a person he was, and all that, because I didn't know much, but because I had this spiritual experience, I wanted to find out more about him.
I think he's the model of the priesthood for the 20th century. He was a total victim priest.
The one thing that struck me about him was that he lived in pretty much our modern time.
Padre Pio primarily affected my dedication to confession and my return to the church, because really I was out of the church for 17 years, and Padre Pio helped me to think about my sins, my serious sins.
People say that when he said Mass, he actually stood before Calvary and saw our Lord's Passion. So I think this will help inspire people to come back and return to that reverence that's necessary in the saying of the Mass.
Padre Pio is he's a cool, holy priest.
Welcome back to our series on Padre Pio, the priest who bore the wounds of Jesus Christ. In our first segment today, we looked at the Franciscan element of Padre Pio's vocation. In other words, that he was called to be a Capuchin Franciscan friar, and his deep love of St. Francis, as we saw, drew him to that way of life. But he also felt called to be a priest, unlike St. Francis, who out of great humility did not feel worthy to become a priest. But Padre Pio felt the call of being a priest. And so after his novitiate year, where we mentioned he had studied and prepared himself for his first vows, Padre Pio began his study of philosophy. And actually, he had to complete something almost equivalent to our high school studies. And so right after he finished his novitiate there at Morcone, he was sent to a little town nearby called near to Campobosso. It was a town called St. Alia a Pianese. And there he began his studies and ended up completing the equivalent of high school studies and beginning the study of philosophy. Later on, he also was sent to another Franciscan house at San Marco La Cotola, where he began again to study philosophy in 1905. Padre Pio made his final vows, what we call solemn vows in the Franciscan order. He made those for lifelong or perpetual vows on January 27th, 1907. So it was about three years after he had made his first vows, 4 years after he entered the novitiate. By solemn vows, he made his lifelong commitment. But he still had to continue his studies for the priesthood. After his final vows, he went to another friary to study theology under the guidance of Padre Agostino da San Marco in Lamis. And Padre Agostino was to be his confessor for the rest of his life. He was very, very close to Father Agostino and to another priest, Father Benedetto. Father Benedetto was his spiritual director and also his confessor. He also later on was to be his provincial. As his studies went on, Padre Pio received what we call the minor orders. In those days, they would give four minor orders, and they were to be lector, officially designated to read the scriptures, lector exorcist, whereby one received the office to free people from the influence and even possession by the devil. Certainly, Padre Pio was to use that office very frequently in his priestly work. There was also the acolyte, the minor order of acolyte, which today is usually those functions are carried out by altar servers, and exorcist, acolyte, lector, and porter. Porter was something like almost a sacristan, a sexton in the church. Those were the four minor orders. Today, they've been reduced to what we call two ministries, the ministry of acolyte and the ministry of lector. Padre Pio received the subdiaconate on December 21st, 1908, in Benevento, and finally he received the diaconate at the monastery in Marcone on July 18th, 1909. And as a deacon, as you know, today the church has restored the permanent diaconate, but deacon is one of the steps, the first of the sacrament of holy orders, a very important part of the call to the priesthood. In the diaconate, one is reminded that they are to serve Christ. And the origin of the deacons, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, was a call to service. The very word deacon comes from the Greek word diakonia, which means service. And Padre Pio certainly had the heart of a servant. We should mention that during this time, especially from May 1909, just shortly before he received the diaconate, Padre Pio began to experience terrible illness. So much so that from 1909 to 1917, Padre Pio spent most of his time at home. It was felt that the climate back in his native town of Pietrelcina would be better for him. He suffered terrible fevers. His temperatures were so high that some of the thermometers they used to take the temperature would break. I understand that that at times his temperature would register, this sounds incredible to us, 120 degrees. Padre Pio endured all of this. One of his superiors, Father Benedetto, who was very close to him, was convinced that this was more than just an ordinary illness, but rather something brought on demonically because of his preparation for the priesthood. Finally, Padre Pio was ordained to the priesthood on August the 10th, 1910. He was ordained in the Cathedral of Benevento. There he was ordained, as I mentioned, at the age of 23. Now, Padre Pio was to be an extraordinary priest. His priestly ministry would touch countless souls. And I think you have to understand all the sufferings that preceded and continued in those early years of Padre Pio's priesthood were but the manifestation, I believe, of his priestly unity with Christ. Bishop Sheen, when he wrote a book on the priesthood called The Priest Is Not His Own, said that a priest must be both a priest and victim with Jesus. And I believe Padre Pio was truly both. He was sharing now through ordination in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. All ordained priests do share the eternal priesthood of Jesus Christ. They're given the power through the Holy Spirit at ordination to carry out the work of Christ. In theological terms, we say the priest acts in persona Christi, which means in the very person of Christ. He speaks in the person of Christ. He acts in the person of Christ. He does what he does as a priest in offering Mass, hearing confessions through the power Christ gives him. But a priest is also reminded that he is to be a victim with Christ. And Padre Pio was certainly one who opened his whole life to Jesus so that he might not just offer the Mass, but in a sense would live the Mass daily in his life. In some sense, his whole life became the continual living out of the Mass that he offered every day. I should point out to you that besides the times that he experienced the illness, he was also sometime in the 1912, 1913, around there, 1915, he was called up for military service. Actually, after the war, I guess it would be closer to 1915, that he was called up for military service. But because of the fevers he experienced, he was discharged the first time, but then called a second time, and he was sent to Naples. And at this period of his life, between the illnesses he suffered and the time he had to spend with his family, and then the time of being called into service in the military, Padre Pio could no longer live in the community. He missed his Capuchin brothers. And this for him was a tremendous trial. In fact, it was a crisis. He felt that he was, you know, almost on the verge of being dismissed from the Franciscan order. That's, by the way, the time that the first vision of St. Francis occurred in his life. St. Francis appeared to him, and Padre Pio pleaded with him not to let him be dismissed from the order St. Francis had founded. Later on, he felt terribly lonely there in the military. He was in Naples during this time, and he felt like, again, his vocation as a Franciscan. He wasn't living with the other friars. He felt so out of place, but he accepted this as the will of God. He actually thought that he was going to die in the military. He didn't want to die, as he said, in these rags of the soldier's uniform that he was wearing. He wanted to die in the habit of a Capuchin Franciscan. So Padre Pio asked the Lord to help him. And finally, on the 15th of November, 1915, I'm sorry, the 6th of November, 1915, he was declared unfit for military service and discharged. Actually, what he was told was that he had to await further orders. Years later, they tried to say that he was AWOL, away without, without leave, and that he had done something wrong by leaving the military without permission. And he showed them the orders he had received, that he was to await further instructions. Since no instructions came, you know, they couldn't accuse him of being AWOL as a soldier. So Padre Pio's life was not an easy life. At this point, you know, he was preparing to receive an extraordinary gift, and that gift was to be the sacred stigmata. We're going to go into that in our next segment when we touch on the life of Padre Pio. But we can see how suffering was part of the experience of this holy man. Why? Because, as St. Paul says, if we suffer with Christ, we will be glorified with Christ. And Padre Pio was willing to endure, embrace, share the cross of Jesus as very, very few people have ever done. And I believe that's why his mission as a Franciscan, his witness that he gave in his Capuchin life, and the power of his priestly ministry touched so many, many souls. It was so very, very effective because Padre Pio allowed the passion of Christ to become part of his own daily experience. He shared the cross with Christ. And when people would ask him, you know, to pray to God to take away these sufferings, he used to treasure them, almost like people would treasure worldly treasures, material things of great monetary value. Padre Pio treasured the sufferings that he had because it was a sign of his sharing with Jesus. And it was through these sufferings, I believe, that Padre Pio's ministry became so fruitful. Doesn't Jesus tell us in the Gospel that unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone? But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And St. Paul tells us that We bear in our bodies every day the dying of Christ, only so that the life of Christ may become more visible, more real, more evident in us. And truly, Padre Pio was one who bore the passion of Christ, who shared in his sufferings in such a very, very intense way. He carried literally, as we will see in our next segment, he carried in his very hands, feet, and side a share in the wounds and the suffering of Jesus Christ. All these other sufferings that accompanied him in the seminary, in the friary, during the years of preparation and early years of priesthood, were a sign of his being joined to Jesus Christ.